This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to Washington Watch. It's Tuesday, July 4th, 2017. I hope on this Independence Day you've been able to slow down a bit, enjoy time with the family, friends, and neighbors, and doing so with a heart of gratitude for the blessing of living in America. And it is a blessing, folks, because America is great, despite all of our challenges and problems. And America is exceptional. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, because I personally want America to continue to be all of those things. And I think you do as well. We'll talk with FRC's own American hero, General Jerry Boykin, a little bit later, along with Virginia Prodan, a woman who grew up in communist Romania without many freedoms and now is basically preaching to America about preserving freedom. We'll also talk with Pastor Mark Cowart of Church for All Nations. He'll join us to discuss the distinction between patriotism and devotion to the kingdom and how they complement one another. But first, I think it's important to look back on the events that led up to and immediately followed our nation's Declaration of Independence. And to help us do that, I can't think of anybody else that's any better than Rick Green. Rick is a co-host of Wall Builders Live, a nationally daily syndicated radio program with David Barton that captures the ideas of the founding fathers of America and then applies them to the major issues of today. Rick is also the founder and president of Patriot Academy, which trains young leaders in founding principles as they participate in mock legislative sessions held in state capitals across the nation. Rick, thanks so much for joining us here on this July 4th celebration.
Tony, my pleasure, man, and just thank you for all you guys do at FRC. I know your listeners get to hear great radio from you every day, but they may not realize how effective y'all are behind the scenes, and I thank God for you guys and the team that you have and the pastors you train and the impact you have in Washington, brother. We really appreciate you. Can't think of a better day to be with you than July 4th and get to celebrate our independence and that continued independence. Thanks to folks like y'all. So appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you, Rick. And I know a lot of our listeners actually get a double dose. They get you guys and us as well. So they get a daily dose of good policy and good history. Let's talk about, you know, when in today's world. I mean, look, since the election, I don't think it's been any more pronounced than what we've seen in the last 5 to 6 months. America is a divided nation ideologically, but even in this season of what I would call hostility, we still enjoy freedoms unlike any other country in the world, and that's no accident. What our founders understood about freedom that allowed them to give birth to a nation that remains free and prosperous. I mean, there's something significant about that, Rick.
It's so unique in history. And, you know, let's be blunt, we're spoiled. You know, we've been able to live in this freedom our whole lives. And so we haven't had to, unlike Virginia and others that have come here from communism or some other form of tyranny, we've never had to live under that, and so we don't necessarily appreciate just how blessed we are. And so it's easy for us to look at something we don't like about the country and or complain about some of the trends that are occurring in the country and say, oh, it's all over, grab your guns and canned food, go hide out at the ranch. And a lot of people kind of doomsday it like that, and we can't be like that. We got to realize, even with the challenges we have, like you just said, we still have the greatest nation in the history of the world. We have such incredible opportunity and liberty and freedom right before us, and best of all, we have all the tools at our fingertips to correct the challenges and the things, the slouch towards socialism that we've seen the last few decades. We can fix all of that. And in many ways, there's some positive things happening in Washington and in states across the country to do exactly that. So I appreciate your optimistic approach, and I hope your listeners realize when they see some of the negative out there, step back and look at the big picture and realize just how blessed we are and that we can correct those negatives because the founders gave us the tools and they put at our fingertips everything we need to peaceably change the course of the nation in a positive direction.
Well, let's talk, Rick, about, you know, 241 years later, America is still going, despite the challenges that we've faced, whether it be economic, whether it be cultural, whether it be national defense, we're still going. What is it that makes America so unique? And let me use that word that the liberals hate. Why is America exceptional?
That's right. And you know, when we use that, some people think we're bragging. And the truth is, it was a Frenchman that gave it to us. De Tocqueville's the one that came over here and said, there's something different here. The Americans have something. They're in an exceptional position, and they've already created something exceptional. And they have the potential of doing something that no people have ever been able to do in the history of the world. And we saw that played out. I mean, not only have we saved the world from communism and despotism and Nazism in the last century, not only have we been the most benevolent nation in the history of the world, always the first there when there's a tragedy, and we send our money all around the world to bless other people. I mean, all these great things that we've seen, you got to scratch your head and say, why us? I mean, what caused that effect? There's got to be a cause for the effect. It doesn't happen by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly there is. When you study what they did at the beginning of our country and you study what they based these principles upon, you realize it was unique in the history of the world. And Washington probably summed it up better than anybody after he was basically saying to the nation his farewell address. He was saying, okay, I'm moving on. Let me give you some warnings. And he was watching the French Revolution take place, and they wanted what we have, and yet they changed the formula. Our formula is liberty under God, liberty respecting the authority of God, liberty knowing that that's where it came from. And they said, no, God, we don't want God in the equation. We just want libertas. And it led to the guillotine and absolute chaos. And Washington looked at the American people and said, you know what? Religion and morality are indispensable supports of political prosperity. You want freedom. You want liberty. You want a political system that has prosperity and all the things that we love about America. You better keep religion and morality at the heart of it. And that's really the secret key to what we've had, is that it has that strong biblical foundation based on timeless principles, timeless truths that don't change. We've lived the benefit of that, but once we got spoiled, we've been kind of trying to want to move away from it, push God out of the equation, be kind of like the French, and it hasn't been good for our culture, our society. But the good news is, as we rediscover that, we can return to it and restore it for our kids and grandkids.
You know, it's amazing, Rick, when you look at what George Washington, you made reference to his farewell address to the nation, and that is one of the most widely studied treatise on government. I mean, people all over the world look at that. There's such wisdom contained in that. And you can really track it. I know you guys at Wall Builders, you know, David has been out front on this for years. As we move away from those moral pillars, we see the erosion of freedom.
We do, and we also see just bad results. You know, if a person wants to sit back and say, okay, I'm not with Tony and Rick on their particular faith, and I consider myself a liberty lover, but I'm real data driven and fact driven. You can just look at the facts. You can look at the difference in a recidivism rate, for instance, in a faith-based prison where they address the heart as well. You get a 6 or 7% recidivism rate of people actually returning. But you go to a non-faith-based prison, most of our prisons, and it's 67, 68% that end up back in prison. Or you look at education or any other area of the culture, and when you leave that faith element in the equation, when you leave God in the equation, you get great results. Because he wrote the manual. He wrote the instruction manual for us. He knows how we operate, how our brains work, how our body works, how our relationships work. And that's what the founder said. If we'll follow the Father of Lights, if we'll follow his formula, we'll get a good result. Even a non-Christian like Benjamin Franklin pointed that out to the other founders. But when we remove that and we move away from it, we have to live with the bad results of that and the erosion of freedom. You're 100% right. We're seeing it on college campuses. We're seeing it in pastors being arrested for just simply praying or reading a Bible on a sidewalk. People run out of business for simply living out their faith. There's definitely a lot of negative there, but as we said earlier, we can reverse that trend if we come back to the formula.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this 4th of July, a day that we celebrate, and we're kind of stepping back from all the breaking news that we handle on a day-to-day basis and talking more generally about our freedoms and what the underpinnings of that freedom, of those freedoms are. We're going to be talking with, still to come, General Jerry Boykin is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking with Virginia Prodan, and so we got a lot more to come here. But I want to go back, Rick, something you just said about the college campuses, the threat that we're seeing on college campuses. I'm actually encouraged by what I see among a lot of young people. I wrote last year a book called No Fear, telling the stories of young people.
Oh, man, great book, by the way, and incredible stories.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But you are doing some stuff to train up those people so I can write about them in your Patriots Academy. You are equipping them with these founding principles and sending them out there with confidence to take on the world.
I got to tell you, Tony, I get, you know, sometimes I look at what's going on in the world and I can get discouraged just like anybody else. But when I come to Patriot Academy and I see these 16 to 25-year-olds that are just passionate about freedom and liberty and God's word and smart and articulate and talking about how to save the country and what they're going to do to lead. And as we equip them and not only give them the educational kind of philosophical foundation, but then the tools to win. So like the men of Issachar, understanding the times and knowing what to do and then seeing them go out there and implement it. It just, I mean, it lights me up. It encourages me to know that God really is raising up a remnant that gets it and that is willing to engage. So I'm like you. I'm hopeful. I see good things in them. People badmouth millennials all the time. And we can certainly talk about the complaints there. But, man, I see in them a cause-oriented generation that is willing to step into the fray. They want truth. They're looking for truth. And when you get it in front of them, man, they grab a hold and take off. And we started this thing about 16 years ago, Patriot Academy, David Barton and I, back when I was in the legislature, and it just kind of, you know, grew from there to now a whole generation of graduates out there making movies in politics in different areas of the culture. And we do it in state capitals across the country. They actually come in and live the life of a legislator for the week and debate on the real House floor and in committee rooms and all that. So they learn the process, but they also learn why. They learn why they're doing what they're doing. We always close it out with this incredible ceremony. July 4th is the perfect time to talk about it. We have veterans that come in and ceremonially pass the torch to these young leaders and say, okay, I was willing to die for your freedom. Now it's time for you to go live it. And the students actually come forward and they sign the Declaration of Independence. We tell them the story of the sin of the Declaration and what those men sacrificed to birth the nation and why they believe what they believe. And then we say, look, it's your turn. You're going to give of your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor from now on. That's your time, your money, your willingness to stand up and speak truth. And, Tony, I got to tell you, man, when they come forward and they sign, often in tears as they realize what they've been given and the duty they have to preserve it, it's just an inspiring, inspiring moment. And so I want to encourage your listeners to know God's raising up some great young leaders in this next generation.
Well, we've got a link listed on our website, and we're almost out of time, but you've got several coming up this summer, and then you've got a special one for veterans in August. Quickly,
yes.
Tell our listeners about
yes.
it.
Super, super excited about this. Military veterans of any age, retired or active duty, we're going to do our first Patriot Academy for veterans. I've had so many of them ask me to do so, and we had some young ones come through a few years back, and they said, now I understand what I was fighting for because I saw the belly of the beast from within. And so veterans of any age, any branch, we would love to have you come spend that 5 days with us in Texas. It's in August when it's going to be hot, but you're going to be in the Capitol, and you're going to be a senator for that week and learn the biblical foundations of our country and how you might be able to serve the next chapter of your life, still serving the country, but in this particular realm. All of it available there at patriotacademy.com. So really, we got one for every age, but we're really looking for those biblically-minded military veterans to come have the opportunity to serve.
All right. Rick Green, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll encourage folks to check that out.
Thanks, Tony. God bless you, man. Y'all keep up the great work.
All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, stay tuned. Don't go away. We've got more Washington Watch on the other side of the break. Pastor Mark Cowart from Colorado joins us to talk about how can we be both a kingdom citizen and a citizen of America serving both. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Don't go away.
The Center for Medical Progress continues to release shocking videos that expose the lies and crimes of Planned Parenthood. David Dalyden, the heroic undercover journalist behind the videos, was recently exonerated from the charges filed against him. Come to Values Voter Summit to hear from David Dalyden in person as he discusses his journey and the courage it takes to stand up for the unborn. With a new pro-life administration in place, America's primed for change. Seize the moment by attending this year's Values Voter Summit. VVS will give you the tools to inform and mobilize your community to protect the unborn and defund Planned Parenthood. Invited and confirmed speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Senator Ted Cruz, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Lash, Franklin Graham, Ollie North, Alan West, and many more. Join us at Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. as we work together to protect the unborn, the family, and religious liberty. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org. What does a children's playground have to do with the Supreme Court? A lot. In April 2017, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case of religious discrimination against Missouri's Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity has an adjacent playground that needed refurbishing, so the staff applied for a Missouri grant program. In an odd twist, state officials denied Trinity's request. When the church asked why, they were told the state constitution barred the public treasury from aiding any church, section, or denomination of religion. That hardly seemed fair to the church, whose children at the daycare and preschool need just as much outdoor padding as other school children. This is just one of hundreds of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the United States, and FRC is at the forefront of the movement to preserve, protect, and defend religious liberty. In a newly updated publication, we catalog the growing threat to religious liberty with a comprehensive report of documented accounts of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the last 17 years. Go to frc.org/hostility for this exclusive publication.
Is there a cost to free speech? For nearly 40 years, Washington and much of the American public have held up disclosure and campaign finance laws as ideals and the path to cleaner and freer elections. In her book, The Intimidation Game, Kimberly Strassel provides firsthand accounts concerning how both have been hijacked by the left as weapons against free speech and free association, becoming the most powerful tools of those intent on silencing their political opposition. The book provides a chilling expose of political scare tactics and overreach, such as how Citizens United set off a wave of liberal harassment against conservative politicians and the targeting of Tea Party groups by the IRS. Listen to Ms. Strassel as she discusses about her national bestseller, The Intimidation Game, How the Left is Silencing Free Speech, which chronicles recent attacks on conservative nonprofits, businesses, and donors at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Berg. It's a special July 4th edition. Maybe we're stocked here with apple pie and hot dogs, and the only thing missing in the studio is my mom, but we'll get to that later. As we're celebrating the 4th of July, you know, it's a time to spend with family and friends and picnics and fireworks and all that kind of stuff. That's great. But we're celebrating our freedoms. We just talked about that. There's a great history in this country that we must not lose. But today, there's often a conflict for Christians in how do we live out our faith as both citizens here in this world, very tangible place in which we live, and how do we express our patriotism? At the same time, exercising our responsibilities in the eternal kingdom of God. Are the two compatible or incompatible? You know what I think, but I want to have a further discussion about that, a deeper discussion. And it's my privilege to welcome one of our favorite pastors here to the program, Pastor Mark Cowart. He is the senior pastor of Church for All Nations in Colorado Springs. It's a thriving multi-site church with a total of 4 campuses. And he's going to help us draw the distinction between patriotism and devotion to the kingdom. Mark considers the Great Commission his primary passion. He is a founding member of a global network of over 800 pastors and leaders currently reaching as far as India. He's also one of our watchman pastors with a deep love for this country of ours, and he's teaching others about the godly heritage of this nation. Pastor Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. So good to be with you again.
Well, it's good to have you here, and especially on a day like this where we're celebrating our freedom. And I preached about this recently. You know, we're celebrating our freedom as Americans, but that freedom as Americans that we enjoy would not be possible without the freedom we have in Christ. And we see that. We talked about that segment before about Western civilization and its being rooted in Judeo-Christian understanding of freedom. How best do we as Christians today mix and exercise that freedom as Americans, that patriotism we have, but also being good citizens of the kingdom of God?
Well, you know, Tony, one of the things I learned, I just celebrated my wife and I 30 years as senior pastors out here at Church for All Nations. And for about two decades, I was really clueless to our nation's heritage. And I think one of the most important things that we can do is learn about our heritage, because we don't learn about it, nor do our children today, yeah, as it was birthed as a nation. And one of the things, you know, of all people, Karl Marx said, take away the heritage of the people and they're easily persuaded. And that is what is going on today. We don't know our heritage. And I used to think there was an incompatibility to be a good citizen of the United States and a good, strong Christian. And I went on to find out, in the year 2011, I started a series during the summer, right around this time. It was to land upon the 4th of July, and I started digging in and finding out our nation's heritage. And Tony, I felt like I was back in school again, and I was both excited and angered all at the same time. I was excited to find out our roots are so deep in Christianity. Our foundations are Christian. And yet I was angered because I didn't know this. And I'm not blaming anyone, but I grew up in West Texas, and we prayed every day in school back then, pledged allegiance, and read from the Bible in a large public school. But I was never taught our true heritage. And so I believe to be a good citizen and a good Christian, we as Americans need to understand and learn what our heritage is.
That's fascinating, Pastor Mark, because I know you're part of the Watchmen, Pastor. You're one of our lead pastors in Watchmen. But when we have our annual conference, you know, when we have new pastors come in, and the first night we take them on a tour, a Christian heritage tour of the Capitol at night after everybody's gone, and point out to them all of the references and all of the symbols of Christianity that are found in the Capitol, in the history of the Capitol, how it was the first church in the city and all these things. And it's like the same expression, excitement in learning this, but then almost an anger of why were we not told this? And I think it's extremely critical when we look at younger Christians who are not at all getting any of this in school. We're not teaching America's, we're not even teaching history, let alone America's Christian heritage. How do we counteract that?
Well, I think the first thing, you know, the scripture tells us, study to show ourselves to be approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, approved unto God, not ashamed. Well, I believe, of course, that's referring to Scripture, but also I think it is our duty to know our heritage. I was doing a study one time on the word inheritance and heritage, and of course you find the root word heir. And if you want to steal somebody's inheritance, then you distort or cut off the understanding of their heritage. So I hate to say it, but the enemy's been quite successful at cutting off the understanding of our heritage. You know, you were talking about when we take the pastors over to the Capitol and do the tour. I was there a little bit earlier this year, and was there in Statuary Hall, and most people don't know it, but each state is allowed two statues. 25% of those were pastors, but mm-hmm. pastors in the founding era of America, our history, back around this time we celebrate, they weren't just preachers. They didn't just deliver sermons. They were soldiers. They were legislators. They were politicians. And here we were standing in the shadow of Peter Muhlenberg, one of the most iconic. One of my favorite questions to ask people, Tony, is if they've ever heard of the Black Robe Regiment.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of that until I heard David Barton, a little three-page article that he wrote, really changed my life, because historically, and secular historians affirm this.
Pastor Mark, we're up against a break. Can you hold on? And I want to come back on the other side of the break and finish that that conversation. So if you'll hold on for just a moment. And folks, don't you go away either. You don't want to miss any of this. We're coming back with more of this special edition of Washington Watch right on the other side of this break.
With a Republican president in office, we should be confident that our religious liberties are secure, right? We'll think again. As violations of religious liberty continue to occur in our military, FRC recognized the need to account for anti-religious actions taken by armed forces and the Veterans Administration. In just one recent example, the West Point's football team incurred the wrath of the anti-religious left when they prayed after a win, even though the prayer was completely voluntary and supported by the players themselves. Unfortunately, this situation is one of the many similar incidents in recent years. Only time will tell how the Trump administration will deal with attacks against religious liberty. Learn more about how our men and women in uniform are encountering difficulty in expressing their faith. Go to frc.org/danger for real stories of how our military service members are fighting for the very rights that thousands of their predecessors fought and died for on the battlefield.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage, and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askfrc. Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to a special 4th of July edition of Washington Watch. We even got the fireworks. Hold on and you'll see them in just a moment. When General Boykin joins me, okay? You'll see that. I want to continue my conversation with Pastor Mark Cowart, Colorado Springs. He is senior pastor of Church for All Nations, talking about the importance of our heritage. We talked about that earlier with Rick Green, but talking about it specifically from a standpoint as Christians in this country, and once we understand how deeply rooted Christianity is in this country, it's not like we're outsiders anymore. It's like, why didn't we know this? Pastor Mark, thanks for sticking around.
Absolutely.
Now, you're talking about the Black Robe Regiment when you were going up at the Capitol talking about the Christian heritage there. I want you to pick that up there at the Black Robe Regiment.
Well, Tony, what was interesting, I never heard the term, and as I shared, I grew up in West Texas, read the Bible. Our public school, which was pretty good size, read from the scripture every day, pledged allegiance to the flag, and prayed. And this is public school. And I never heard that phrase. And this is why I'm so adamant about this, because even secular historians have stated, the Black Robe Regiment, by the way, it was kind of a backhanded comment from the British against the clergy and pastors of the day. And the comment was, if it hadn't been for that Black Robe Regiment, we'd have won this war. So, Tony, the implications of that are we would not be a country if it had not been for the pastors and clergy of the day. It has been proven historically, if pastors had not spoken out boldly, there never would have been a revolution. And they further stated, if somehow the revolution had begun without them, it would not have been sustainable without their involvement. And secular historians have also said that the Declaration of Independence, our birth certificate, is nothing but a collection of sermon topics. Those phrases that we have come to think are American, they're scripture, mm-hmm. and they were from sermons that pastors preached. And so I tell you, when people tell me they don't think we're a Christian nation, I ask them if they've ever been to Washington, D.C., because I don't know how you can take a tour of our nation's capital and various sites and walk away with a different conclusion. Scripture is etched in stone throughout our nation's capital, and the heritage we have is so rich, Tony. It's overwhelming. I feel like I know a thimbleful of what our nation's heritage, but I believe that's a key to us getting back to being a strong nation once again.
So, Pastor Mark, how are you helping younger believers, you know, those young folks in our churches that are not getting this history, obviously, at school, in their education, even in college? How are you bringing them along?
Well, one of the things I do, you know, I started participating in what was called Pulpit Freedom Sunday back in 2012, and that caused no small stir. And one of the things I do is I just try to say that, look, every Sunday's Pulpit Freedom Sunday, as far as I'm concerned, because there's no incompatibility between our nation's founding and Scripture.
Right.
So I try to regularly incorporate nuggets from our nation's history. I'll tell you, if people just did a study of founding father quotes, it would absolutely overwhelm them. It's phenomenal how godly and Christian, not just religious men, but they were Christian men, how the Bible shaped and formed their beliefs, their conversations. There's things that I've got where I'm trying to find ways to incorporate it in our Sunday school lessons, because I've made the statement, Hebrews chapter 11, which has been called Faith's Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. I've said it numerous times, if it hadn't been written until the 21st century, I believe our founding fathers, starting with George Washington and many others, would be included, because it was through their faith that they overcame insurmountable, incredible odds. So I try to incorporate it. It's who we are. It's part of our history. And I don't see any incompatibility of being a Christian and a citizen. To be a good citizen, I believe, the United States of America, I believe we owe it to this nation to reintroduce our founding back to them.
Well, John Adams said the same thing. He said, the Constitution was made for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. So they understood that our government was shaped, framed, and crafted for a people who could govern themselves according to the principles of God. Pastor Mark, I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank you for your leadership and your commitment to the truth.
Well, God bless you, Tony. It's always good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
All right, brother. Keep standing. Hey, by the way, folks, I want to mention, he mentioned the Pulpit Freedom Sunday. That is what led to the president and his discussion of the Johnson Amendment. That's what that was all about. And so because pastors, for the last almost decade, taking a stand against this government infringement upon the pulpit has actually led to a president who has embraced this as a policy initiative. That's how the pulpit influences public policy. I mean, pretty encouraging to see what's happening. All right, don't go away. You'll want to hear the remarkable testimony of my next guest. She grew up in socialist Romania, and will share with us why Americans cannot take these freedoms that we celebrate for granted. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
What does a children's playground have to do with the Supreme Court? A lot. In April 2017, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case of religious discrimination against Missouri's Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity has an adjacent playground that needed refurbishing, so the staff applied for a Missouri grant program. In an odd twist, state officials denied Trinity's request. When the church asked why, they were told the state constitution barred the public treasury from aiding any church, section, or denomination of religion. That hardly seemed fair to the church, whose children at the daycare and preschool need just as much outdoor padding as other school children. This is just one of hundreds of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the United States, and FRC is at the forefront of the movement to preserve, protect, and defend religious liberty. In a newly updated publication, we catalog the growing threat to religious liberty with a comprehensive report of documented accounts of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the last 17 years. Go to frc.org/hostility for this exclusive publication.
Every day, Americans put their trust in doctors who have sworn the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. We expect that the care they give us will honor this oath to the best of their ability. So why would a doctor participate in physician-assisted suicide? It directly contradicts this oath, leaving our people vulnerable to medical practices that lack safety and integrity. Earlier this year, Washington, D.C. joined Washington State, Vermont, Oregon, California, Colorado, and Montana in legalizing physician-assisted suicide. As a physician of over 25 years and a strong supporter of patient rights and access to quality care, U.S. Representative Brad Winstrup has led the charge in Congress to repeal the D.C. law and ensure safeguards are put in place that protect our nation's most vulnerable citizens. To learn more about what Congress is doing on this issue, go to frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
The Center for Medical Progress continues to release shocking videos that expose the lies and crimes of Planned Parenthood. David DeLeiden, the heroic undercover journalist behind the videos, was recently exonerated from the charges filed against him. Come to Values Voter Summit to hear from David DeLeiden in person as he discusses his journey and the courage it takes to stand up for the unborn. With a new pro-life administration in place, America's primed for change. Seize the moment by attending this year's Values Voter Summit. VVS will give you the tools to inform and mobilize your community to protect the unborn and defund Planned Parenthood. Invited and confirmed speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Senator Ted Cruz, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Lash, Franklin Graham, Ollie North, Alan West, and many more. Join us at Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., as we work together to protect the unborn, the family, and religious liberty. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to a special July 4th edition of Washington Watch. Before the break, we were talking with Pastor Mark Coward about how Christians can be devoted to the kingdom of God and still be proud American citizens, and why it's so important that we know our Christian heritage in this country. And still to come, my favorite general, even though he's an Army general, General Jerry Boykin, is going to be joining us in a few moments. But my next guest has a powerful testimony that will only confirm this sentiment about why what we have is so precious and must be protected. As a young attorney under Romanian brutal communist regime, Virginia Prodan had spent her entire life searching for the truth. When she finally found it in the pages of God's Word, the most forbidden book in all of Romania, Virginia accepted the divine call to defend fellow followers of Christ against unjust persecution in an otherwise ungodly land. And for this act of treason, she was kidnapped, beaten, tortured, and placed under house arrest, and came within seconds of being executed. Through a miraculous series of events, God protected her, and she and her family were exiled to the United States in 1988. And I've asked her to join us today to share why she doesn't take her freedom for granted and why we must not either, and we must protect it. Virginia, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me.
Well, Virginia, I know we've had you at FRC before lecture, and we've actually played your the lecture here on Washington Watch, but I wanted to bring you back today because it's July 4th. We're celebrating our freedom, and I think too many Americans take this freedom for granted, and I wanted you just briefly to share your story with our listeners.
Well, as you mentioned, I grew up in communist Romania. I call that land a land of lies and a prison land because communist is against your liberty, your property, and your God. In fact, our leader declared himself God and required each one of us to worship him. By the grace of God, I am alive. And I want your listener to understand that I'm not a hero. I defended a lot of heroes. I am a tool in God's hands. And he used me as a tool to change Romania, as he, God, will use each one of us in his hands as a tool to change America. And I believe freedom is precious to those who don't have it. I live in a country without freedom. And freedom is a gift from God. The word says you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we have to remember as Americans that in many ways we were blessed. First of all, America was built on God's principles and received God's blessings. America's values, God's values, made America a powerful country with unlimited God-given blessings and possibilities for everyone. America, because of that, was remain a country that the rest of the world look at, and a country that proudly led the way. In the last 10 years or more, America turned back to God. It's blind to sin, makes no interest in Jesus Christ, many of them. A lot of people depend more and more on government and fear more government than God. So I will say that America is losing its identity, value, success, influence, and its power, not only at home, but in the world. America in many ways today looks defeated. Why? Because I believe Christian America has lost its cultural leadership. In many ways, we as Christians became the silent majority in America. It's time to change. It's time for us to stop being fearful and politically correct and be godly correct. It's time for us to read or listen to liberal fake news and read good news, the Bible, and practice openly and without fear, and that will save America and our freedom. Otherwise, America will become a dangerous place to be.
You speak of you mentioned about being fearful, and I've heard you say this before, that the fear of man is weakening America from within. Explain that to our listeners, what you mean by that.
I have seen America change in the last 25 years so much because people fear more the government than they fear God. They believe that government can take away their jobs if they speak up, and that fear is weakening America. Our resources and our provider is God. If we forget who we are and who God is for us, the fear will conquer us. I do remember, even in the interrogation room, being beaten, I learned a lot of good lessons. I had more courage than my own persecutors, by people that were my enemies. I learned that if the truth lives in me, lies cannot overpower me. If my soul is free, not power on earth can enslave me. And if God gives me victory, defeat is impossible. Those are the lessons, and those are the things that I love to share with American people, because God is the one who can take away that fear of man from us. And when we fear God and we know that he is our provider and he is for us and not against us, we can practice our faith. And that faith will give us wisdom, stability, and victory in any circumstances.
That is absolutely true. And I know that is kind of the theme of my book, No Fear. But your story is told in your book, Saving My Assassin. And folks, you can get a copy of Virginia's book by going to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Also on that website, we've got a link to her lecture that tells more of her story when she told it at FRC recently. Virginia, I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for being courageous and speaking the truth to America. I mean, you're safe, you're free, you're here in America now, but you're sounding the alarm to let Americans know that the freedoms we have, unless we stand up and defend them, we can lose them.
I want to say to the American people a few things. Remember who you are. You brought Christ and freedom all over the world. It's time for us, Americans, to bring Christ and freedom back to America. It's time when you celebrate 4th of July to declare your full dependence on God, because God can use you and me and change America. And with that in mind, I want, starting this 4th of July, to celebrate 4th of July in a different way. Live for God without fear of man, and watch what God can do in you, around you, and in our country.
Could not say it better myself. Virginia, thanks so much for joining us today, and have a great 4th of July.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a blessed and wonderful 4th of July, too.
Thank you so much, Virginia. Virginia Prodan. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can get a copy of her book, Saving My Assassin. And I wanted to bring that perspective to you because, you know, we've grown up with freedom. Now, I think we've seen in the last, you know, almost decade, what happens when we lose those freedoms and how precious they are and why we have to defend them. I mean, religious freedom, I think, was teetering on the edge in this past election. And it's still not. It's still not completely safe. And we must defend those freedoms. And the best way we defend them is by using them. But I want to underscore, before I bring the general in, I want to underscore what Virginia said. Fear God, not man. When you have a reverence for God, you cannot have a fear of man. Because, you know, as Romans chapter 8 says, we go from, I mean, we're conquerors. He's made us more than conquerors. So live, as she said, beginning of this 4th of July, live with no fear of man. All right, I want to invite my favorite general in, and we're going to round out this conversation today about the 4th of July with General Jerry Boykin. General Boykin, welcome back to Washington Watch as we celebrate this 4th of July and the freedoms that the Marine Corps has won for us.
Well, first of all, happy 4th of July. Secondly, I think that you need to see
I wish we were on TV because people could have seen that look on your face.
You're hallucinating.
Well, look, we've been talking. We had Rick Green on talking about America's Christian heritage. Mark Coward talking about the role of Christians in integrating our faith with our patriotism. And then we just were talking with Virginia Prodan about the, you know, growing up in communist Romania, how precious freedom is. And you've traveled the world, 36 and a half years in the United States Army. You have done so much to protect our freedoms, but also bring freedom to other people. And it gives you a different perspective on what we celebrate today.
It really does, Tony. And, you know, the constitutional freedoms that we are given is something that every member of the service, of an armed services, is sworn to defend those constitutional freedoms. But when you travel the world as much as those of us in special operations have, you see where people that live in an environment where they don't have those freedoms so appreciate coming to the United States, even if it's only for a short period. We would bring people in from different countries just to train with us here, and you would see that they were in awe, and at first they were just so overwhelmed they didn't even talk about it, and then they would gradually start to ask you questions about this. You can do that? Well, yeah. I mean, and then we look at them like, well, what do you mean? Of course.
Yeah, it was. I experienced that back when I was working with the State Department after I came out of the Marine Corps. We'd bring, after the wall came down in Eastern Europe, we brought them over to the States for training. Mm-hmm. Poland, Czechoslovakia, Romania. Mm-hmm. And I remember them going into a grocery store and they mm-hmm. were awestruck mm-hmm. because they had been told that we lived like they did. Mm-hmm. And they had no idea the bounty that comes with political and spiritual freedom.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the other things that when we would have people in, we'd take them out to dinner at night, and sometimes, you know, we'd be very late, and they would be asking us, well, what time is the curfew? What time do we have to be back? You know, we would say, well, you know, there's no curfew here. You know, curfews are only established when there's some kind of threat or something, but we don't have a curfew here. And you forget that simple things like that mean so much to people when they come into our country. You know, Korea for years, all of South Korea had a curfew. I mean, this was long after the Korean War, but they had a curfew. And maybe they still do, at least when I was there, they did. And you don't realize just how much freedom we actually have. And remember, you know, on the 4th of July, or really on the 2nd of July, when they took that vote to leave the crown of England, separate from the crown of England, that was the beginning of this process that ultimately resulted in a constitution and a Bill of Rights. And you and I and every service member, that's what we've sworn to support and defend, you know, with our lives if necessary. Right. And that's why the 4th of July is so very, very special, because it's a reminder of what we fought for, of what we served for, of what we sacrificed for, and what every young man and woman that's serving in our military today has by their own oath sworn to defend. And it all started on that, when that vote was taken in Philadelphia, and that's what we celebrate here today.
Well, you often speak, General, when you talk about a transcendent cause.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot look at our freedoms as Americans and the sacrifices made by the men and women who serve in our military, both just with giving uh-huh. their lives, both literally and then, uh-huh. and, you know, for their times of service. You cannot look at that without an understanding of that transcendent cause.
No, that's exactly right. And it's a cause that's bigger than you. It's something you're willing to sacrifice for, serve for, and even die for. You know, I think one of the things that bothers me the most about where we are today as a nation is that there are lots of people that are not proud to be Americans, because the left has bombarded them with a message that is that tells them you have no right to be proud to be an American. Well, I push back on that very strongly and say no. There's an awful lot of men and women that have served in the military that have given me the right to be proud to be an American, and it almost breaks my heart to see young people today that are not proud to be Americans, that don't see or don't feel compelled to stand when the flag goes by or when the anthem is played.
Well, the world would be a much different place, and I would say a much darker place, if America had mm-hmm. not been on the scene and men and women willing to serve and lay down their lives for others. General, as always, great to be with you.
Good to be with you.
We'll let you get back to your hot dogs and apple pie and fireworks.
Well, you would disturb my nap is what happened.
Is that what it is? Okay. All right, folks. Hey, happy 4th of July. So glad you spent a little time with us. And let me leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, which has even more relevance to today. When you've done all that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.